News of the Church and Comment. Nauvoo, Illinois Temple Dedicated. Early on the evening of June the 27th, President Gordon B. Hinckley dedicated the Nauvoo, Illinois Temple in a session broadcast to thousands of members participating in 72 countries. The place and the time were closely tied to the history of the Church and its first president, Joseph Smith, charging the event with a sense of history as well as sacredness. As a time capsule was sealed in the cornerstone box earlier in the day, President Hinckley spoke of an unseen audience that he expected to be present for the dedication, including the prophet Joseph Smith, his brother Hiram, and many others who gave their life and their time and their energies to the construction of the original Nauvoo Temple. The dedication began at 6 p.m. Central Daylight Time on the same date, June the 27th, when the prophet Joseph and his brother were martyred in Carthage Jail about 15 miles away in 1844. Adjusting for daylight savings time, even the hour was the same. In the dedicatory prayer he offered on the temple, President Hinckley said, "We thank Thee that those harsh days are now long past. We thank Thee for this season in which we live, with the many blessings of peace and prosperity which we enjoy at Thy hands. Thy Spirit has brooded over us and moved upon us, and in obedience to its promptings, we have now reconstructed on this hallowed ground the temple that once stood here." He petitioned, "We pray that Thou wilt accept of this our offering. The hearts of the children have literally turned to those fathers who worked on the original building. They have done so with love and a wonderful spirit of consecrated effort." President Hinckley added, "Bless this city of Nauvoo, which came to be known as the City of Joseph. May it shine with a renewed luster as the home of a temple of God. May this sacred house stand as a memorial to him who lived here and was buried here, Joseph Smith, the great prophet of this dispensation, and his brother Hiram, whom he loved." President Thomas S. Monson, first counselor in the first presidency, also spoke in the first dedicatory session, as did President Boyd K. Packer, acting president of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, Elder Ben B. Banks, of the Presidency of the 70, Bishop H. David Burton, presiding bishop, and Margaret D. Nadal, Young Women General President, Elder D. Todd Christofferson, and Elder Dennis B. Neuenschwander of the Presidency of the 70 offered the invocation and the benediction. Members of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles participated at each of the 13 dedicatory sessions through Sunday, June the 30th. The first dedicatory session and the last were broadcast live via satellite to members gathered at approximately 2,300 locations around the world, and rebroadcasts of the first session were scheduled at other times. This was the first temple dedication broadcast on an international scale, and its reach far exceeded that of any previous church satellite broadcast. An expanded satellite system allowed it to go to areas of the world that have never before received any type of church satellite broadcast, including Japan, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, Samoa, Fiji, Tonga, the Philippines, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Thailand, Armenia, Bulgaria, Ukraine, Russia, and Romania. The dedication of the Nauvoo, Illinois Temple is significant because this building is in large part a recreation of the temple that the prophet Joseph Smith had located on this bluff overlooking the Mississippi River. The new temple is built on the same site and to virtually the same exterior specifications and design as the original Nauvoo Temple. Thousands of today's members have ancestors who contributed to the building of that original temple, and every member can feel a kinship to those pioneers who sacrificed so much for their faith. More than 330,000 people from every state in the United States and from 70 other countries toured the Nauvoo, Illinois Temple during the 7-week public open house before its dedication. Visitors included prominent business and government leaders, as well as officials from other religious faiths. Music for the dedicatory sessions was provided by members of the Tabernacle Choir and by choirs of local Latter-day Saints. The Nauvoo, Illinois Temple is the church's 113th. It will serve 13,000 Latter-day Saints in western Illinois, eastern Iowa, and northeastern Missouri in stakes in Nauvoo, Peoria, Cedar Rapids, Davenport, and Iowa City. President Hinckley addresses L.A. World Affairs Council. Volunteer service is the genius of this church, said President Gordon B. Hinckley, speaking to the Los Angeles World Affairs Council on June 12, 2002. President Hinckley focused his remarks on the elderly and on the church's perpetual education fund as he addressed the more than 2,100 people attending the event. They included diplomats, professors, local government officials, media representatives, and church members hosting their guests. Religious leaders of many faiths were represented. President Hinckley spoke first about the challenging service opportunities available to retirees and the thousands of individuals taking advantage of these opportunities. God bless them for their great and dedicated service. He highlighted a few of the 5,300 retired church members on missions who are having a tremendous impact in serving others. Two widows teaching and encouraging Jamaicans in need. Two brothers, retired doctors, who established a neonatal clinic and a general practice to help the disadvantaged in Ho Chi Minh City. And 20 retired people teaching English to Thai children in Bangkok. Now I know, of course, that there are many other volunteer groups doing a great service in the world, he said, but I know of no other organization which so harnesses the abilities, the capacities, and the willingness of retired men and women in an organized program of Christian service in many areas of the world. These people are experiencing in a very real way the promise of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Mark chapter 8, verse 35. President Hinckley then spoke of the Perpetual Education Fund, designed to help the many young men and women who may return to poverty in their home countries after they finish their missions and do not have the opportunity to get an education. They receive loans to finance their education in their own country, then pay these loans back. A quarter of a million people have sent in donations to the fund. We have, without touching the corpus, earnings enough to provide loans to more than 3,000 individuals, said President Hinckley. Today, only 14 months after the first announcement, we have made loans to 720 young people in Brazil, 696 in Chile, 338 in Peru, 194 in Mexico, 523 in the Philippines, and 634 in other countries, he reported. I am confident the number will rise dramatically. One young man from Concepcion, Chile, wrote to the president, "This is a great blessing. Today I can change the future and give something better to my children. Thanks to all who have made this possible." Loans from the Perpetual Education Fund are helping finance training in fields from automobile mechanics to hotel administration and web technology. Kathleen Lubeck Peterson, Harbor Hills Ward, Newport Beach, California Stake. New Area Presidency Assignments. The First Presidency has announced changes in assignments for area presidencies. The changes are effective August 15, 2002. All presidency members belong to the quorums of the 70. North America Northwest, President Quinton L. Cook, First Counselor William R. Bradford, Second Counselor Stephen A. West. North America Central, President Donald L. Staley, First Counselor Bruce C. Hafen, Second Counselor Lynn A. Mickelson. North America Northeast, President Spencer J. Condi, First Counselor Glenn L. Pace, Second Counselor H. Brian Richards. North America East, President Dale E. Miller, First Counselor J. Kent Jolly, Second Counselor Gordon T. Watts, North America Southeast, President Gene R. Cook, First Counselor Keith Crockett, Second Counselor H. Aldrich Gillespie, North America Southwest, President F. Burton Howard, First Counselor H. Bruce Stuckey, Second Counselor Stephen B. Ovison, North America West, President Lynn G. Robbins, First Counselor Dwayne B. Girard, Second Counselor Val R. Christensen, Utah North, President Cree L. Coford, First Counselor Monty J. Bruff, Second Counselor Merrill C. Oaks, Utah South, President John H. Groberg, First Counselor W. Rolf Kerr, Second Counselor Ned B. Ruscha, Idaho, President C. Scott Groh, First Counselor D. Rex Jarrett, Second Counselor Ronald L. Loveland, Mexico North, President Gary J. Coleman, First Counselor Robert J. Whetton, Second Counselor Adrian Ochoa, Mexico South, President Richard H. Winkle, First Counselor Armando Gaona, Second Counselor Benjamin De Hoyos, Central America, President Enrique R. Falabella, First Counselor Julio E. Alvarado, Second Counselor E. Israel Perez, South America North, President Claudio R. M. Costa, First Counselor Walter F. Gonzalez, Second Counselor Roberto Garcia, South America West, President David R. Stone, First Counselor Carlos H. Amado, Second Counselor Willie F. Zuzanaga, Brazil North, President Ademar Damiani, First Counselor Robert R. Stewart, Second Counselor Pedro J. Penha, Brazil South, President Neil L. Anderson, First Counselor Darwin B. Christensen, Second Counselor Paulo R. Grau, Chile, President Jeffrey R. Holland, First Counselor Francisco J. Vinas, Second Counselor Carl B. Pratt, South America South, President J. E. Jensen, First Counselor L. Whitney Clayton, Second Counselor Carlos E. Aguirre, Africa West, President Sheldon F. Child, First Counselor H. Ross Workman, Second Counselor R. Conrad Schultz, Africa Southeast, President Robert C. Oaks, First Counselor Stephen E. Snow, Second Counselor David J. Barnett, Philippines, President Dallin H. Oaks, First Counselor Angel Abrea, Second Counselor Richard J. Maines, Pacific Islands, President Ronald T. Halverson, First Counselor Robert K. Dellenbaugh, Second Counselor Dennis E. Simmons, Australia New Zealand, President Kenneth Johnson, First Counselor John M. Madsen, Second Counselor Lindsay T. Dill, Europe Central, President D. Lee Tobler, First Counselor Ronald A. Rasband, Second Counselor Marlon K. Jensen, Europe West, President Harold G. Hillam, First Counselor Wayne S. Peterson, Second Counselor W. Craig Zwick, Europe East, President Douglas L. Callister, First Counselor Keith K. Hilbig, Second Counselor Robert F. Orton, Asia North, President Donald L. Hallstrom, First Counselor Yoshihiko Kikuchi, Second Counselor Gary S. Matsuta, Asia, President John B. Dixon, First Counselor E. Ray Bateman, Second Counselor D. Allen Anderson. Changes in Presidency of the 70. The first presidency has called Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf as a member of the Presidency of the 70. He succeeds Elder Ben B. Banks. Elder Uchtdorf began his service in the presidency on August the 15th. The other members of the presidency are Elder Earl C. Tingey, Elder D. Todd Christofferson, Elder David E. Sorensen, Elder Dennis B. Neuenswander, Elder Charles Didier, and Elder Cecil O. Samuelson, Jr. Elder Uchtdorf was called to the Second Quorum of the 70 in 1994. In 1996, he was sustained to the First Quorum of the 70 and has served as president of several areas, most recently the North America West Area. He has also served as Assistant Executive Director of the Correlation Department. Elder Uchtdorf was born in Czechoslovakia and has lived most of his life in Germany. He and his wife, Harriet Reich Uchtdorf, have two children. New visitors facilities in New York, Ohio. On July the 1st, following the Nauvoo Temple dedication, President Hinckley traveled to Palmyra, New York, to dedicate the newly completed Hill Cumorah Visitor Center. President Hinckley spoke fondly of visiting the Hill Cumorah as a returning missionary 67 years earlier and of watching President Heber J. Grant and other church leaders unveil the statue of the Angel Moroni on the hilltop. He also spoke of how intrigued he is by the events that occurred there. President Hinckley bore testimony of the Restoration, the Prophet Joseph Smith, the Book of Mormon, and Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. He then challenged members in the audience to be true and faithful to the restored gospel and to stand ready to declare the truth of that divine gift. I know that the church that came out of these events and others that followed is true, President Hinckley said. In the dedicatory prayer, President Hinckley prayed that the Spirit of the Lord would touch the hearts and minds of the people who visit the center, and that they would come away with a greater appreciation of the events that transpired there. 1 week earlier, on June the 24th, the church opened the doors of another new visitor center in Kirtland, Ohio, along with two other historic structures, one rebuilt and the other restored. The historic Kirtland Visitor Center is designed to resemble the gristmill that church members saw when they arrived in the area in the 1830s. The years 1831 to 1838 were a defining period for the church, said David Brown, Visitor Center Director. During the Kirtland area, we believe God revealed to the Prophet Joseph Smith the essential organization and much of the doctrine of the church that is still in place today. Kirtland was the site of the first Latter-day Saint Temple and the church's first implementation of the welfare, church education, and international missionary programs. Church leaders hope to dedicate other restored and reconstructed sites in historic Kirtland by summer 2003 as part of the Ohio Bicentennial Celebration. These sites include the John Johnson Inn, the Newell K. Whitney Store and Home, an 1819 schoolhouse, a 170-year-old sawmill, and an ashery. At the bottom of this page, we have a picture of President Gordon B. Hinckley preparing to cut a birthday cake for a brief celebration of his 92nd birthday with the general authorities and other colleagues in the church administration building on Friday, June the 21st. He was born June the 23rd, 1910. Missionary Training Center dedicated in Ghana. The first missionary training center in Africa was dedicated in Ghana on May the 17th. The center is the church's 16th and will serve missionaries called from West Africa. Speaking at the dedication, Elder H. Bruce Stuckey of the 70, president of the Africa West area, quoted counsel from the Doctrine and Covenants. Seek not to declare my word, but first seek to obtain my word, and then shall your tongue be loosed. Then, if you desire, you shall have my spirit and my word, yea, the power of God unto the convincing of men. Doctrine and Covenants, section 11, verse 21. Then he added that the Lord has indicated that the fullness of the gospel will be taught to people in their own tongue and their own language. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 90, verse 11. Missionaries at the center will receive instruction in both English and French. Instructors will be local returned missionaries. The purpose of the training center is, under the influence of the Spirit and in an atmosphere of love, trust, confidence, and respect, to help missionaries draw nearer to God and begin to obtain power so that more of Heavenly Father's children will accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, receive saving ordinances, and come unto Him, said Stephen Merrill Hadley, president of the Ghana Missionary Training Center, in his remarks. Also present at the dedication were Elder Stuckey's counselors, Elder H. Ross Workman, and Elder R. Conrad Schultz of the 70, Area Authority 70s, Elder Emmanuel O. Apare Sr., and Elder Emmanuel A. Kesey, and other local church leaders. 1881 Canadian Census available. Searching for ancestors in Canada just got easier. Information concerning 4.3 million people living in Canada in 1881 is now available on CD. This census data includes the provinces of British Columbia, Manitoba, New Brunswick, the Northwest Territories, Nova Scotia, Ontario, Prince Edward Island, and Quebec. The National Archives of Canada microfilmed the 1881 census, and the church purchased a copy of it. Latter-day Saint volunteers in Canada extracted the census into computer databases, and the Church and Family History Department processed the information. The Institute of Canadian Studies at the University of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, helped in preparing the data for publication. The CD package, item number 50179, U.S. $11, includes Resource File Viewer 4.0 and 3 CDs. Fires affect members in Arizona, Colorado. In June and July, some 12,000 church members were evacuated from their homes in Arizona, where wildfires burned over 400,000 acres and destroyed some 200 houses. Approximately 35 Latter-day Saint families lost their homes. Local church units worked actively with the Red Cross to provide shelter and supplies for the displaced families. Church humanitarian funds were used to purchase food and other supplies. In addition, several semi-trailer loads of emergency items were transferred to the area from Bishop's storehouses in Mesa, Arizona, and Salt Lake City. Other blazes in southern Colorado burned some 66,000 acres, causing the evacuation of 1,100 people. Several members' homes were extensively damaged and one destroyed. Church members worked with the Red Cross to provide meals and lodging for most evacuees. Church welfare resources were donated to the Southwest Colorado chapter of the Red Cross to help purchase food and other items. Comment: Nauvoo Temple. I just wanted to thank you for a wonderful magazine. I'm particularly thankful for the July 2002 issue featuring articles on the Nauvoo, Illinois Temple. How wonderful these articles were in helping prepare me for the temple's dedication. What a powerful witness the Spirit bore regarding the rebirth of this historic sacred building. Thanks once again for the Spirit-filled articles that have deepened my understanding of and appreciation for the early saints' sacrifices and the sacrifices of today's saints as well in the rebuilding of this sacred holy house of God. Michelle Piercy, Greencastle, Pennsylvania. Isaac was not a child. While the picture on page 25 of the June 2002 Ensign is moving, it regrettably perpetuates a falsehood that Isaac was a child at the time of his prospective sacrifice. This is likely not accurate, and people would miss one significant point, that Isaac, being an adult, could have easily stopped his aged father's hand, but chose to willingly submit to his father, as did the Savior. We do not have enough detail to know Isaac's age at the time, but it is likely he was not a child as depicted. Boyd Peters, Fullerton, South Australia. End of the section, News of the Church and Comment. Read by Duane Case.